Hey everybody, how we doing? What's happening? Thursday morning, we're back and we are better than ever. That's a lie. I have COVID. What? Yes, I finally got the vid. I stayed away from the motherfucker for 2 years, right? A little longer than 2 years, whenever the shit actually popped off. Who cares at this point? It's ancient history. But yes, I didn't get COVID. I think I know that I didn't get COVID because there were times where I thought I was sick and or I was sick and I thought maybe it could have been COVID. But now that I've actually tested positive for COVID, I can feel that it was different than those other ones, those other times that I thought I may have been sick. Plus, there were a couple times where I was sick and I went to the doctor and I got a test and they said I didn't have COVID. So it took until I moved to a depraved town in Connecticut, a small industrial, fucking dilapidated bullshit town where there's only the most of the people here are probably government funded. The only reason that they're alive is the fact that we have a government that is willing to take care of them in some way, shape, or form. That's most of the people that live here in New London. Quick little story before I go on a little bit more about my situation. The other night, I was in my room dealing with the COVID symptoms, and I was bored. There's only so much you can do, right? I already live in a fucking in a shoebox with windows, and there's only so much you can watch, and there's only so many times you can tug your rug. You know what I'm saying? So, I had my window open, a window in here, and outside I heard some screaming and hollering, and there was a man. Which, by the way, there's always people screaming and hollering. There was a guy walking up and down the street today. Today for me is Tuesday this week. And Tuesday at 12 in the afternoon, there was a guy walking up and down the street screaming at people that weren't there. And that guy's the mayor. That guy's the mayor of New London. He was walking up and down the street screaming about how people lie to him. And he's going to the shelter. He doesn't need to live with anyone. He'll be fine. And I believe him. I think he will be fine. But there's always people screaming and shit. I'm not taking the coffee yet. God damn it. I always get excited. But no, so I was laying around and a man was walking down this kid, maybe around my age. He was walking him down and he was... what's the word I'm looking for? He was saying that the younger kid, the kid my age, was doing something to his wife. Right? He was accusing him. That's the word I was looking for. He was accusing this younger man who also had a dog that he was walking with, right? This little might have been a bulldog or something. Wasn't anything like a ferocious dog that you could let go on this drunk asshole and rip him apart. However, yes, the older man seemed to be drunk, but it sounded like from the situation, I was watching it from my window and listening to it, it sounded like the kid did do something to the wife. It definitely did, because the kid was, he was nervous. The guy was pulling out receipts. He was saying, well, hey, how come this person told me this? And the kid was, oh, they're lying. Please, you don't want to do this. I don't remember the guy's name. He kept saying it. Maybe it was Corey or something. Corey, you don't want to, no, don't do this, Corey. You have children. And he's just backing away and he's backing away forever. Like he's going down the street for a while. And then eventually they get really far down the street next to a wall where if they go behind that wall where I'm sitting, I wouldn't be able to see them. So once they get to that area, somebody who's related to this guy or maybe his caretaker or whatever comes running down the street with an orange t-shirt. No, don't do it, Corey. Stop. You can't. And that guy, the drunk asshole, took it as an invitation to now I'm going to put my hands on this guy. And they ended up behind the wall. And I heard screaming and hollering and, oh, no. Oh, Jesus. It's funny, right? When people know that something will get broken up or there's chances of people getting involved to stop the violence from ensuing, they are more inclined to do so. Right? It's just like in a bar or in a place, hey, you know, let's go outside. Why? Why go outside? I'm right here in front of you. There's no security guards around. We go outside, there's security, there's people, someone's going to call the police. At least in here, we can get a few good stabs in on each other before anything happens. Before things get separated, the police can't see it. We're in the middle of the club. Come on, let's do it here. You know, so it was a kind of the same situation with this guy. And there was a man walking past them. And I couldn't see from far away, but he did end up walking down closer to my end of the street. And the guy was like, hey. Guy was completely not involved. He was like, hey, what's going on? But it looked like he had a blind man's cane on him. Like, it looked like he had blue jeans on. He was a bald guy with a beard. He ended up walking down the street, and he did have a blind man's cane. Which he's either a blind man, a very courageous one, willing to break up, willing to sense, just hear and sense what's going on, or he's a guy that's ready to fight any fucking time. Or he's the Daredevil, right, from the comics. I don't know if you know about the Daredevil. I never watched the movies, but I know the original Daredevil was blind, and he could beat the fuck out of people with a stick. So maybe that's what it was. But yeah, and then I'm looking out the window, and the guy, the original dude, Corey, comes running down the street. He runs back full sprint with his buddy. The buddy's like, Jesus, no. And the dog was bugging out on the other side of that wall. It was crazy, right? I feel like he beat the fuck out of that kid, or he did something to him. And then now he's on my street, and he's tearing a car up, somebody's car, and the guy's like, Corey, that's not his car. What are you doing? You have to stop. So I look out. I'm like, Jesus, I hope he's not fucking up my car, because I'll go out there. I'll beat that guy with an inch of his life and then go fuck his wife. You know, I mean, I hate my car, but I need that motherfucker. So if he's out there doing shit to my car, I mean, I'll beat him up with the guy that was preventing him, with his buddy with the orange shirt. I'll grab that guy by his legs and swing around like a baseball bat and use the top of his head as like a Fugo. You ever see the Fugo bats? Is that what they're called? Where they're like, they're fat at the top. It'd be like that. And I'd crack that dude in the side of the head 18 times with the other guy's head. And it would be the perfect murder. Just like Carlin said, you beat a guy to death with another guy. I would have followed it out. I would have followed that shit out. And it would have happened. But, hey, it didn't happen that way. Luckily, I still have my car. But anyway, the police came. The police came, and this guy was very upset, and he was trying to run. He was trying to resist a little bit, not enough for them to, you know, to take real force on him. And they were really trying to be like, hey, stop, that's enough, stop. But he was crying and everything, you know, and it was interesting because, you know, it was entertaining, right? It was a change of pace sitting in my COVID house. It was a nice little change of pace. Got to see some, but the police, they always come right when things are going to get good. Right when things, I mean, I don't know where the wife was. I don't know where she was in this whole thing. I don't know what the case was, but it sounded like things were going to get good. He was going to start destroying property and, you know, maybe he'd beat up someone that was walking down the street that had nothing to do with it. And then the police just come and they got to wrangle him up. They just got to say, hey, that's enough. No more fun. And everybody closed their blinds and went back to doing whatever the fuck they were doing, watching Jimmy Kimmel or some bullshit that doesn't compare, right? Realistically, when we're speaking in terms of entertainment, nothing compares like crazy motherfuckers doing crazy fucking things, right? And everybody has their own tolerance for it. Sure. You know, but this guy was out there doing some mildly bad stuff. Some stuff that was like, okay, you know, but do we need the police? He's breaking a guy's car. Come on, just let him do it. The person's probably got insurance. They can make a claim, you know, say something. I don't know. But like I was saying, COVID waited 2 years, 2.5 years until I moved to the poverty-stricken area of New London, Connecticut, and I am living far above my means while I'm here because the job that I work is terrible, right, in terms of income. I make pretty much no money, which is fine. You know, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't make me or break me. It's stressful, sure, but, you know, comedy is my main thing. That's the whole reason I'm out here, yada, yada, yada. But here's the thing. Here's the best part about this whole thing, right? This week, I was planning on doing a couple things to help make some more money. I was planning on working a bunch of different jobs to try and make some extra cash, little odd jobs here and there, make some money, because we are midway through the month of May, a little bit over midway. So rent's coming, baby. Rent's knocking at the door, and I want to be able to answer that bitch. So this month, or this week, I was planning on picking up shifts here and there and doing little odd things, and then wham! COVID rears its ugly head and says, hey, buddy, you're going to have to wait a week. Sit in the house like an animal and make $0. Well, I'm going to get paid, though. Mohegan's going to pay me for my time off this week, which is great. I mean, I'm very happy. I'm very fortunate that Mohegan pays me a great livable wage of $7.60 an hour. And that combined with my with the massive tips that the biggest sports book in the East Coast brings in, I mean, Christ, there's some days. I mean, I leave there with $30 or $40, and I'm like, whoa, this is the big time. No wonder people flock here to make a living for themselves. No wonder Mohegan Sun is the main source of tourism and income and anything that happens in this shit fucking state. Because that's what it is, guys. I don't know if you've ever been to Connecticut. I'm sorry if you're from Connecticut, if you like Connecticut. You probably started smoking cigarettes when you were 10. Right? If you enjoy the state of Connecticut, I should be a little more directed with this attack, though. Because I actually do like the scenery of the state. I think the state looks nice when you drive through it. I like the wilderness. You drive on the highway and you see some real nice, rolling mountains. And you might drive by some nice fields. You go through a nice woodsy town. It looks nice. Those places are nice. That's what this state is for. If you come to the state of Connecticut, don't visit the cities. Don't visit the big cities. They're garbage. They are garbage. They are trash. New Haven, fucking New London. I mean, it's not really a city, but people talk about it like it's some fucking whatever. Everyone says, wow, you're from New London. Yeah, that's how you show how deprived the people in Connecticut are. But Hartford, the capital, garbage. Like, straight trash, guys. And you know, the casinos are some of the main attractions here. If you're not a woodsy person, if you're not whatever, you want to take a trip to Connecticut, you're going to be very underwhelmed. You are. It's a very, it's a place of poor taste. Let's put it that way. And you know, I'm a fan of poor taste. You know that. When it comes to hilarity, I'm a fan of poor taste. I've been watching Carlin again. I always talk to you guys about when I'm, I guess, rewatching a comic that I once really enjoyed. And it's hard to say that I enjoy any other comics more than George Carlin. It's very hard for me to make a case for anyone else. I love Bill Hicks, but they're kind of in the same vein, right? They're a little more in the same vein. And, you know, I'd have to say those two guys are my main influences. But I recently came across a Carlin special that they decided to release. He released it, or he did it in Vegas on September 10th, 2001. So he was in Vegas, he recorded a special, and the name of the special was called I Kinda Like It When a Lot of People Die. Day before 9/11. I mean, obviously he didn't predict it, he didn't know, right? And they said, hey, after that happened, this was the only time George Carlin pulled material for the sake of, poor taste, right? For the sake of the culture at the time, would this do what I thought it would do before, you know, people blew up the Twin Towers, right? And he was from New York, supposedly. That was like his thing. He loved the city, and that's what he loved to do. So there was something that he enjoyed, right? Which is hard to believe. But he loved the city, and he said, hey, we're not going to release this. But in 2016, his daughter said, hey, let's release it. Fuck it. Let's do it. I don't know how my dad would think, but let's do it. We're going to do it. And it's on YouTube now. You can listen to it on YouTube. There's obviously no video. I shouldn't say obviously. There is no video, but it's audio only, and it is brutal. Even by Carlin standards, it is brutal. It's funny. Very funny. There's bits on there where it's just like funniness. There's one on there called Too Many Songs. There's too many fucking songs. He's always complaining about shit. It's great. It's great. And there's a bit on there where he even talks about Osama bin Laden being blamed for blowing up a plane. Imagine that. A day before that shit actually goes down, he had jokes that he said that he had been working on for a year, right? Carlin was known for his feverish schedule of doing comedy. He would, every year, he would throw out the old shit and he would do a new hour every year. You know how fucking crazy that is? That is hard. That's a feverish fucking pace. So the fact that he worked on something mad hard for a year, something that was funny, and it was said that he didn't enjoy performing in Vegas. He said he didn't enjoy performing in Vegas. He thought the crowds were too stuck up or pretentious or whatever. And the daughter attested to that. And she's like, yeah, I'd watch him perform there and people would leave, you know, a third of the way through the set and people would just walk the fuck out. Which has always been crazy to me, right? Now, I'm a person who advocates for, hey, if you don't like it, leave. If you don't like this, leave, turn it off, whatever. Don't fucking complain. Don't go on Yelp. You know, just don't ever go back again. Who gives a fuck? You know, that's what most people do anyway. But there are people who go out there and they think they're going to get something from writing on Yelp. They're going to let people know, you know, they're the vigilante of bad food service, right? That's what Yelp is. You can go on there and you can say, well, it took 35 minutes for my sweet tea to come out. It tasted nothing like sweet tea that we get in the South. Well, miss, this is New Hampshire. Well, I don't care. You don't put sweet tea on the table, and then I wait 35 minutes for it, and it tastes like water. You know, like, they think they're doing some kind of a service. But, that being said, you know, I completely advocate walking out and leaving. But you bought tickets to watch George Carlin, right? Like, you went to go watch George Carlin. You went to go watch Sam Kinison. You went to go watch Bill Hicks, some of these guys that are just trying to get you to leave sometimes, right? They are, especially a guy like Carlin who is genuinely upset with things, right? So you listen to his set, you listen to this special, and there is genuine venom at this crowd. They're laughing, there are moments where they're like, oh no, and whatever, things you don't hear on a special. But he, you know, there were moments where it's like, damn, he really doesn't like fucking anything. You know, and it's true entertainment because of how conducive his material was to who he was as a person at that point in time. 2001, he was what? He died at 71 in 2007, I think. So what's that? That's numbers, right? That's numbers there. No, he was 65 at that point, right? That makes sense. 65, so he was in that stage of his life where he was very, very angry about everything, which is phenomenal, right? It shows the progression of an artist. If an artist isn't willing to change and throw out the old shit and do new stuff and keep creating, being forcing themselves to create, holding themselves to a standard that wouldn't allow them to do the old shit, no matter how bad people wanted to hear it, people wanted to see it, none of that stuff. I can't imagine Carlin did the seven words you can't say on TV too much further past 1969. He did do a special, I think it was one at a college, where he closed with an extended list. And it was like, you know, it was a completely different thing. He's like, you guys know me for this, you know, for the seven words you can't say. Well, I've made a list of a bunch more words that you also can't say on TV. And it was just long. It was fucking, he just said, ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and the crowd was just, whoa, the whole time. It was his closer, right? But doing that bit, you know, he wasn't going to go ahead and do that. He wasn't going to go ahead and do the exact same thing. But it's just funny that people would walk out of something that they kind of went in knowing what would happen, right? The only thing I could imagine why that would happen is like a couple goes and, you know, the wife is like, yeah, that'll be fine. And yeah, I love George. He's funny. He says such funny. He has great observations, and the husband is like a real fan. Like he feels this way. He resonates with some of the things that Carlin says. But the wife gets so upset at some of the shit, and she's like, "Well, I'm that person. Why is he making fun of me? Why is he doing that?" Like, he didn't just make fun of so many other people and so many other aspects of life and all these things. They as humans, we internalize things and we make them personal. We personalize things. So that's where a real offense comes from. That's when people get offended, right? They hear something and they go ahead and they're like, wow, he's talking about me. I'm one of those people. So the fuck what? Right? Shouldn't we be the goal for most of us is to be comfortable with the person we are, regardless of whether people make fun of it or not, right? Especially people who are, what about people who are born with something biological that doesn't allow them to change it, and people make fun of that? You know, I mean, they couldn't even change. Like, if someone was making a joke about a fat person or fat people, and fat people got all up in arms. Well, you can change something about it. If you don't like it that you're a fat guy, there's jokes to make about skinny people too. You know, there's jokes to make about all different shapes and sizes of people. Just the fact that you're a fat guy and they're making jokes about fat guys, now you're going to be upset about it? You know, I mean, it's weird. Like, and you have the option to change it. What about a person that's born with like Down syndrome? You know, and I'm not, you know, if you make fun of people with Down syndrome, I'm not saying that that's a good thing, but that person couldn't even go ahead and change it. So it's even more of a part of their DNA, a part of the way that they are as a human, you know? Just because you're a fat guy, you weren't born to be a fucking fat guy. Some people are born into, you know, unhealthy families and whatever, but you weren't born to be that way. So, you know, I mean, shouldn't it be that we are comfortable with the way we are regardless of what people say? Isn't that the goal for everybody? And it's tougher for some people more than others. But to get offended because a comic is, you know, saying something or whatever, it's like, I don't know. That's where offense comes from. It comes from an insecurity. You know, there's a comedian named Josh Blue who has cerebral palsy, makes fun of it on stage. You know, makes fun of fucking, you know, whatever. It's weird. It's the age old disease of offense. And obviously now It is, I don't want to say it's at the height, but it is pretty, you know, it's at a pretty a good peak, I guess we can say, where, you know, it's tough. But also, here's the thing, is you can get a audience because of how much content there is out there and how many people just in general there are on the fucking planet now. You can build an audience that'll listen to you. You know, it doesn't matter. I mean, I talked about cults the last episode, QAnon. I mean, these are things where people went ahead and got a following, got people to listen, which is why as an artist, it's a tough line to balance. Because you want to get to a place where you can get booked and you can make a good amount of money and whatever else, but you also don't want to sacrifice what you think as a person. You don't want to sacrifice your art. You want your art to be you want your art to be an extension of you. For some people, that matters more than others. I am burning up in this fucking room. Good God, and it's not the COVID. I had to close the window because there's never a moment of silence in this fucking area, right? I know I love talking about where I live because I love it, but if it's not mentally ill people screaming at each other in the street, then there's, you know, cars driving by really fucking fast on these little tiny roads too. Cars just flooring it right through. Big trucks. There's more big trucks here than I've ever fucking heard in my life. My God, there's always a big truck and they sit out there for 20 or 30 minutes. Either they're fucking, it's a garbage truck that is taking their sweet motherfucking time, or there's a tow truck, or there's just a fucking, it's a truck that sits out there that is literally just meant to be loud. They sit it out there. The manufacturers of the vehicle said, this truck is going to be implanted in places where people don't want to be, and we're going to make it tougher on them. We're going to put the truck there at 10 in the morning, let it go for about 20 or 30 minutes right before people start to snap, and then it'll drive off. And they have a lot of those around here. They made sure that it's extra loud to fuck with everybody. But in this vein of crazy shit that we're talking about and offense and all this stuff, I guess it's time we bring up the guy who, the sick motherfucker who went ahead and killed a bunch of people in a grocery store and streamed it to Twitch. Now, I saw the video. It is tough. It's very tough to watch. I mean, he gets right out of the car. He blasts a woman, like immediately, blasts two or three people right in the fucking front of the grocery store. I mean, he's a sick motherfucker. You know, he goes through the place and it's just, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. It was a terrible fucking thing. The fact that, you know, anybody can grab a hold of that stuff is, you know, in terms of the video and everything, the fact that it's so easily available for us is, it's one of the factors that goes into the conversation about freedom of speech and freedom of you know, expression, I guess, if you want to call what that motherfucker did as expression. I guess he's expressing how he feels, you know, and he went to the fucking extreme. That, you know, the fact that we can just see that on a public forum like Twitch, or I don't know if he put it on Twitch. I think it was Twitch. Either way, he streamed it and people could see it, and it was sick, right? Sick, just disgusting, racially motivated. He had a whole thing about, you know, he had like a list. It was like, make it out alive, kill as many black people as I can. And incite more of this, like, you know, just terrible fucked up things. Terrible, terrible fucking situation. But that's content, baby. I mean, that is about as raw as it gets. Gary V, I think, would be proud of this guy because it is... I mean, the content game is a tough game, right? It's tough to stay relevant, tough to find an audience for your brand, right? It's tough to build, and this guy was thinking outside the box, right? He was thinking outside the box, and he said, you know, I want my career to take off. I think it's time that, you know, I've been doing this Twitch. I've been streaming Twitch for years. I started when Twitch started, and I'm still, you know, struggling. I have this strange urge to kill people who don't look like me. I have this very, very weird urge that, you know, people who do look like me are under some sort of oppression in this country, which is obviously not true. But I don't know what it is. And this is him talking to himself now. This isn't me, motherfuckers. Don't try and, you know, this is him sitting down and deciding how he's going to plan out his next move to build his media career. And he went ahead and said, you know what? I have this great idea. People love the first person shooter. They love the, you know, they, and this, it, we're getting closer and closer to the virtual reality and the metaverse. And this might be the first step. This might be the first step to get people to, which I think was his real motivation. Right, his real motivation must have been, hey guys, the metaverse is coming. Let's take advantage of all the fun we can have right here, right now. Right? We can still go to a grocery store and kill people, film it, and let everyone see it. Let's keep doing that before the earth is inhabitable, you know, the physical earth at least, and we're all living underground and we won't be able to do that kind of thing. Once all of our rights and freedoms have been stripped, we won't. And here's the funny thing, right? People are going to look at that video and use it as an excuse to tighten up the belt straps on gun control. We need more gun, more laws, more gun control. As if that kid was in Texas or in some other fucking free carry state, that motherfucker would have been shot. He would have been riddled with bullets. That guy wouldn't have made it out of his fucking car. People would have saw that guy get out of his car and there would be a butt of a gun, you know, pointing up, right, in his passenger seat. Because you watched the video. Before I watched the video, I was like, how did people just let this guy get in to the store with a gun? But he really gets out of the car and just immediately starts lighting people up. Immediately. And but that he wouldn't have even had the chance in Alabama, right? Some state where everyone's got guns. I mean, there would have been a Grammy putting fucking three in his head. Three in his head with a 22. That motherfucker would have been laid out and they would have danced around his motherfucking body. Right? They would have danced, but in New York, they got him handcuffed. They're giving him fucking iced tea. Here's a bag of animal crackers. We'll take the cuffs off you. The gun's in the back. We don't got to wear. Here's a fucking a small fry from McDonald's. Maybe we'll grab you a shake too. You know, I mean, anybody that believes banning something that a bunch of people want that already exists. Banning something that already exists that people want. People want guns. People want drugs. People want these things. Banning them does nothing but turns the quest to get them into a criminal enterprise. Now, that's a bit of a convoluted statement and sentence, but here's what I'm kind of getting at here, right? Prohibition was the catalyst that birthed the American mafia as we know it, right? Bootleggers, Al Capone, that's how he made his money. He was able to start an organized fucking crime syndicate so that people could get booze. People wanted booze. People couldn't get it. We got ways to get it. Don't worry about it. Places in Europe where guns are illegal. Sure, there's less guns. But do you think that there are no guns? Probably not, right? Do you think that in the UK, the fact that there are no guns is preventing people from stabbing each other to death? No. In fact, it's doing the exact opposite. Or how about the fact that if there's no guns, then, you know, you are now allowing criminals to build a new flow of money, right? Now we can do illegal arms trading. Now we can sell guns illegally. Look at the money we can make now. Now you're fueling these cartels. You're fueling these crime syndicates because now you're giving them another means of income. Here's another one on a more, I guess we can say, public or personal level. Something that's been in the news, of course. Something I spoke about on here. Abortions. Right? Abortions. Banning abortions. Now, this is like an Instagram post, right? But it's true. Banning legal abortions doesn't get rid of abortions. It just gets rid of the safe ones. So now people that really want abortions are putting their lives at risk. You know, people that are unable to, you know, birth their child, or they got raped, or they are unable to take care of a child and they don't want to, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter the fucking reason. It doesn't matter the reason. It doesn't. That's the thing, is it doesn't matter the reason, and people think that the reason matters. It doesn't at all. Because it's not you. It's not you. You follow what I'm saying? If you needed an abortion, you would be completely against. If these pro-lifers, let's say a pro-life politician went ahead and banged a mistress, banged a woman, got her pregnant, and now, you know, can't let that go out. Because he's got a family, he's got kids, he's got a fucking a status in office. He can't let that out. That guy's going to get an abortion, right? That guy who's been preaching for years and years because it's something that's going to hurt his status, it's going to hurt his livelihood, right? Now, that reason is fucking terrible. But again, it doesn't matter the reason. It shouldn't matter the reason. But because it's a guy in power, he can, you know, these people can be hypocrites. That's the thing, right? That's the thing. But banning something, if everyone in New York was allowed to have a gun, that guy would have gotten fucking demolished. He would have gotten demolished, right? You can walk into a bank in Montana and guys got guns on their fucking backs, across their backs. You know, you walk into a place, you try and fuck around, steal a fucking Kit Kat bar from a mini mart, you'll get shot 3 times in the leg with a shotgun, right? A pump shotgun, 12 gauge, fucking no birdshot either. This isn't the Chappelle shit. This is buckshot all day in these fucking places. They don't care. They don't care. So, yeah, I mean, it's, first of all, it's a travesty. It's a fucked up thing that happened. You know, it obviously racially motivated the whole thing. But people are gonna get behind it and use it as a you know, I don't know if scapegoat is the word, but they're gonna use it as fuel to push their own narratives and to push their own thing, which is disgusting, right? It's just as gross as killing people in a fucking Walmart. You know, it's just as bad to go ahead and take this case, which is what's going to happen. They're going to take this case. They're going to exploit it. They're going to squeeze all the fucking juice out of it to try and get people to, you know, gun control, and people are going to push more things about, you know, racially motivated violence, which is a fucking very real thing. I'm not here saying that it's not real. I'm not here denouncing the fact that it exists, right? And this is a, you know, perfect example of it actually happening. And it's a fucking, it's a very, very unfortunate situation. But the fact of the matter is, no matter what you do to this kid, no matter what kind of prosecution comes about this, no matter how, you know, what changes come from this in, you know, different places in the country, in New York, if they legislate something where this and that, it doesn't matter, is the point that I'm trying to get at. People are still going to kill. People are going to still kill in a racially motivated way, whether it's whites versus blacks or blacks versus whites or Spanish and, I don't know, and different countries, Muslims and Jews. And no matter what the fuck you do, you're not going to stop it. So you're just trying to get some steam on your machine, right? You're a reporter. You want to write something about this and get it out to the people. You want to write a very heartfelt piece, which is great. And I commend you all for that. I do. I commend the people who write about these things, and I commend the people who are on the forefront of these awful fucking situations that happen. But I kind of look at those articles and those type of things. I think the best way for them to be taken by the public is, hey, we're fucked up. We are fucked up. And let's hope that one day the human race can find a new level of consciousness, one that doesn't see color, it doesn't see race, it doesn't see, you know, it doesn't see gender as a means of qualification, right? It doesn't have any of these things, right? Maybe we shouldn't kill each other. Maybe we shouldn't start wars over things, you know? Innocent lives are being lost for nothing. Prejudices are stupid fucking dead people's baggage, you know? It's stuff that you're carrying for no reason. You don't even know why you feel that way. You know, that's how it should be taken. It shouldn't be taken as this is a step in the right direction. We are going to go ahead and this will help us. We are all a big fucking consciousness, guys. We're a big consciousness, and trying to get steam behind your idea, trying to, you know, as a politician say, well, this is a travesty, and, you know, and then after that thing, after that speak, you go in the back and you know, people are saying, yeah, your attendance for this rally was down. We need to, you know, we need to get these numbers up. Let's go down to a predominantly black neighborhood near Buffalo, New York, and do this same speech so we can get some more people behind us and, you know, whatever, and, you know. And I'm not saying everybody's doing this, right? I'm not saying every person is doing this. You know, I'm sure there's good fucking people out there somewhere, right? I'm not sure every person is for their own agenda. But most of them are, right? I mean, is there, you know, there's some selfless people, but most of them aren't politicians, right? It's pretty hard to be a politician and not be selfish, right? I mean, you got to be a sick fucking person to try and hold office and feel like you are you have enough wisdom and enough knowledge to lead the people of a community. Right? You got to be pretty fucking selfish to think that. You know, I mean, you might have good ideas. You might have great ideas. And again, there's some. There are some people, but ultimately, you know, you can't put these things into action if they don't like you as a person. They can't put these things into action if you don't play to a certain demographic and they don't keep reelecting you. Right? So you have to be selfish in a certain way. And a lot of politicians where that selfishness and selflessness line kind of, you know, for some it's more on the, they focus more on being selfless. And that is the demographic that they play to. They play to the people who are looking for real humans to run what it is that they call home, you know, people who are willing to make a fucking change. But it's, you know, I think what really disgusts me is the fake mourning that goes on, right? There's a lot of people who are willing to take a terrible fucking thing like this and put it toward a cause, smear their corporate fucking name right over it, and say, you know, slap a sticker on there and say, wham, buy Kellogg's if you want to stop racism. You know, like that to me is disgusting. And I know that it's Very unfortunate, the loss of life that goes on through these type of things, but it's even more unfortunate the response to it. You know, it's literally just certain agendas, public agendas, driven by private fucking entities, and, you know, that's what it is. That's why comedy is so, that's why brutal, edgy comedy is so important, because it really puts this shit out in front of people. It puts this shit out in front of people, and you're making them laugh, which, you know, is the whole point of being a comedian. But also, if you make someone laugh, they'll listen. Which is where we go back to Carlin's genius. Carlin was famous for doing a Columbine joke the night of Columbine, or the day after Columbine happened. And they asked him, they said, hey, I mean, why would you do a joke like that? And he goes, man, this is a time where you need a joke like that. Because the fake mourning, the bullshit that people are saying about a tragedy like this is just fucking disgusting. And I can't help but feel a similar way, man. I mean, maybe it's recency bias because I was watching Carlin all day yesterday and I was doing a deep dive on him. Like I said, because of COVID, I can't really go out and do comedy. So I'm taking this time to study tape like the fighters do. And, you know, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with everything he says, but there are some things that I can see, like, you know, I can see what he means, right? I can see why he's apprehensive to kind of just go collectively with everybody else when they say, oh, no, this was a terrible thing. I'm sure he believes it was a terrible thing, and I believe it's a terrible fucking thing, too. But what's worse is what comes after it. It's the people who rally behind it to try and get something moved, something done, to get their own narrative pushed. You know, that's what's disgusting. That's what bothers me. And hey, I mean, listen, yes, the whole thing was racially motivated. Very bad, very, very bad. But did anybody happen to see what the price of Rice Krispie treats were that day? Could there have been a chance that he got his ShopRite flyer in the mail that day, and he was under the impression that Rice Krispie Treats, all his favorite flavors, were buy one, get two free, which is a hell of a deal. You rarely see that. There is a chance that he could have seen a very rare deal on his favorite snack, right? Maybe Cheez-It Grooves. Cheez-It Grooves are nice, right? You get the bold cheddar. Or the spicy ones, you know, there's a very good chance that he saw that there was a deal and he called and they said that, you know, yesterday was the last day. And he said, you know what? I'm done with this shit. I'm done with this shit and I'm going to go kill the fuck out of everybody in this supermarket. And then I can have all the Rice Krispie treats I want because I have a gun on me. You know, I have a gun and, you know, and I'll be good. I'll be fine. And there was another moment in that video that was very weird, very strange. He said sorry to one of the guys on the ground. He pointed the gun at him, and the guy, like, screamed, right, like normal, screamed and tensed up, thought it was, you know, that was the last face he was going to see on Earth. And the guy didn't shoot him and said sorry. He said, oh, sorry. Kept walking, shot some other people. Like, at least he had a little remorse. Right. At least in that moment, he was like, you know what? That guy, he doesn't deserve this. So sorry. You know, I'm sorry for coming in here and shooting your coworkers and the three ladies you had in your line. And now you have to live with that with the rest of your life. I am sorry. I didn't mean that, which, you know, I mean, there's always a silver lining, right? There's always a silver lining. At least he said, at least he apologized in that moment. But listen, guys, it, you know, I can only hope that after a situation like this, the response isn't some kind of bullshit that gets people, on one side or the other, which is what happens. That's also what I was alluding to. One side or the other. I don't see anybody that's siding with this guy. And if you do side with this guy, you're obviously a racist, right? But, you know, there's probably some sick fuck, some sick racist fuck who is out there saying, you know, well, that guy had this, you know, this reason to do that and whatever. And that's, you know, a crazy extreme. And I'd be hard pressed to find anyone that isn't a Klan member that agrees with what that guy did. But what I was, I guess, referring to was this idea of gun control, and now it's going to be used as a thing to divide us, right? It's going to take the humanity out of the situation. It's going to take away the fact that this guy fucking murdered a bunch of people, and no one was able to stop. Forget the fact that no one was able to stop it because of a gun, right? Forget the fact that nobody had a gun on them, because now we're getting it. Forget that. The guy went into a place where you're supposed to be, where usually nothing eventful happens, right? Nothing eventful happens in the supermarket. Every once in a while, you know, you wring out a pack of steaks as a bottle of ketchup, right? Or as a can of tuna, right? At the self-checkout, and you skirt out of the ooh, and you know, you giggle and you made some money. But normally, or you got a good deal, right? But normally, nothing eventful happens in a grocery store. And this guy went ahead, or in a fucking movie theater, or in a school, or in anywhere, a place where it's supposed to be relatively fucking normal. A guy went in there and killed people. Do we not understand that? That is the whole point of this. He went in there and killed people. Can we, for once, just for a little bit, just for a week, can we please understand that this fucking guy was crazy? He went and killed people. Let's wait a little bit before we start pushing narratives and forcing people to take a side on this. Well, if other people had guns, he would be, and I agree with that part in particular, right? I'm going to go ahead and say that now. If there were people in there with guns, he would have been fucking shot. That's how I started this thing. I might be on that side, right? But then you have to take into account, if there were no guns, shit, you know, maybe he doesn't kill as many people. It's a very fucking complex issue, you know, and from what it sounds like and what I've been saying while I'm thinking out loud here, I would have rather seen people have guns, competent people have guns and light that motherfucker up than not, because the opposite is, you know, what actually happened. And I also don't agree with taking away guns completely. In fact, based on my original point, I believe in the exact opposite. I wish the other people had guns so they could have fucked that guy up. Now, that being said, you can have that opinion without trying to push some bullshit, right? In person, individuals, right, can have that opinion, but that's the thing, guys, we're complex. We are complex, right? There's too many sides. There's not just two sides to the coin of being a human. There's a lot of different fucking things that happen, right? And one day we feel this way, another day we feel that way. And what the news does is they try to prey on that so that they can get so many people on there. So I don't even watch the news, and I am sure that they're smearing this shit all over the place. I'm sure that they are. Fox and CNN are going back and forth. Again, forcing people to pick a side. How about we come together and settle on the fact that that guy was a fucking loony bin. There was a needless loss of life. This was terrible. But the fact of the matter is there's no way to stop it. There is zero way to stop crazy people from killing other people. Right? What about the Unabomber? They don't sell bombs. He made them, right? I think. Maybe not. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, but I'm sure there's people who have used bombs they've made themselves, and they kill a bunch of people, right? So it doesn't matter if the thing is readily available or not. People are going to kill. There's crazy fucking people out there who kill, who don't give a fuck about life. They don't care. How about we all agree on that? We watch out for them, we do our best to mitigate it, and we move the fuck on, right? If there's a bunch of people who think, hey, we shouldn't have guns, go move to a place where nothing happens, where it's safe, right? For the most part. Again, grocery store, school, movie theater, all supposed to be safe places. Try and, you know, sit in your fucking house. I don't know. Try to mitigate it the best way that works with your quote-unquote values, these things that you've attached yourself to, which is another fucking conversation we can have at some other point in time. But if you feel that way, if you don't want people to have guns, go live in Europe. Go live somewhere else, or go live in a place where it's strict to get a hold of a gun illegally or legally in the country. Go live there and try your best to stay out of public places and do what the fuck it is that you want to do. If you believe that there are, you know, we should all have guns, everyone should be able to support themselves and protect themselves no matter where the fuck they are, go live in a free carry state or an open carry state. Go do that. Do what it is that you want as an individual. But it is just disgusting that there is a whole entity known as the news, or entities, news, government, laws, or Supreme Court, I guess we can call it, lawmakers, and this type of thing, that are preying on the fact that we have differences as humans, preying on that fact so that we are forced to pick a side, and then eventually, you know, whatever side's narrative is pushed harder, something is given in return. Something is given in return to that side, you know, which is, it's sickening. It is very sickening, and it's disgusting that a tragedy like this is what brings that out, right? Not saying that it should ever be brought out, but, I mean, a disgusting loss of life like this, in my opinion. But that's the thing, right, is individuals are where humans are most, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to say whole, but they are most authentic, right? Once they start to come in groups and devise ideas and these type of things, great things can be made, but the other side of that coin is terrible fucking things can be made. But whatever changes you make to keep yourself safe, it shouldn't be part of some greater fucking machine to change the whole face of safety and guns and all this stuff. It should be to worry about you and yours. You and yours. If you live out in the fucking woods, you know the police ain't gonna be there for an hour. You better stay strapped the fuck up. Right? You better stay strapped the fuck up. If you live in a shit fucking inner city place, you better have some weapons on you. You better find a way to have a fucking gun on you and be ready to fucking go if some shit happens. Or move somewhere where nothing. Go live in Mar-a-Lago. Everyone can live at the Mar-a-Lago resort where Trump is. No, nothing bad happens there. Nothing bad happens in Mar-a-Lago, right? Well, okay, maybe they sacrifice children to Baphomet in the basement, but, I mean, it's relatively safe. Relatively safe, and you don't have to worry about much. Guys, that's my viewpoint on a lot of this shit. I don't know, you guys know me, I'm a sick fuck, and I guess, right? I guess. I don't know if I'm a sick fucking bastard. I'm sure there's other people that think this way. You know, there's plenty of this. It's, again, we're complex. There's some days where I feel a little more remorse for things, and I am not saying that I don't feel remorse for this. My point of this whole fucking conversation, which people are going to miss, right? As soon as I start talking about certain things, people are going to shut this off, and they're not even going to hear what the fuck I'm saying. My whole point of this whole fucking thing is not to denounce the loss of life. It's not to denounce. It's to, A, satirize it. Make fun of it, right? Which is my fucking job. And number two, let you know that the most disgusting part of a tragedy like this is what comes after. The fake bullshit that comes after so that a narrative can be pushed by a certain side. You know, by forcing us to pick a side on something that we can equally agree is a fucking travesty. You know, and that's my point. That's why I'm bringing it all up, to fucking make light of it, but also let you motherfuckers know to be ready for the bullshit that they're going to spew to you on the news, and force you to forget the humanity in the situation of a guy that just went fucking crazy and killed a bunch of people. Racially motivated. Yes. He had an AR. Yes. Regardless of what you do in legislature, in society, even if all of us, even if 90% of the world's population one day just gained this higher learning of everybody and life and what it means to be a human, there will still be outliers and fucking loony bins. There will still be motherfuckers who get up in the morning who say, you know what? I'm going to go into a 7-Eleven and I'm going to slit the throat of every person I see with a machete that's been sitting outside in the rain. It's dull, it's rusty, and I'm going to hack off whatever the fuck I can, whatever I see, I'm going to chop into little pieces and leave there. There's always going to be people like that. So at the end of the day, motherfuckers, the day is over. Thanks for listening.